Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can come inside the studio and speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, perhaps a family or a personal issue you're working through, we're here to help. So give us a call right now in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In the book of John, at the very beginning, the apostle writes this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is really a description of Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He was with God, so he's always been. He's always existed. He wasn't created. He wasn't, he didn't come to be. He's just always been. Mm-hmm. And so he was with God, and he was God. So here John identifies Jesus Christ as God himself. And it says, "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then we go down to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what do we know about Jesus Christ? Well, three things from these several passages. First, he's always existed. He was in the beginning with God, and indeed he is God. The second thing that we learn is that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he's creator.
Yes.
So he brought all things into being. He became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. That was the very first Christmas. That's what we celebrate, the fact that Christ became one of us. He inhabited a body that God the Father had prepared for him. And then we see that he is glorious and that he is full of grace and truth. So Jesus is full of grace and truth. We experience that grace through faith. When we're saved, then we live in that grace. But I want us to take that back all the way to the beginning. When we read in Genesis 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," that act of creation was motivated by the grace of God. It indeed was an act of grace on God's part of bringing everything into existence, then creating us as the pinnacle of his creation, created in his image to reflect his image and glory out there in the world. And we were to be together in relationship, in a perpetual state of rest. That was God's favor being exerted through this act of creation.
Right.
And so since Jesus is the one who is full of grace and truth, that marked the initial creation, and it marks the recreation. When God recreates us through new birth, through this salvation that we experience, it too is a work of grace. It just makes sense, doesn't it? If the one who created is full of grace and truth, then creation itself has the fingerprints of grace and truth all over it. And then this work of recreation, this new creation that Jesus is bringing about as folks respond to his gospel call and receive him and are made alive together with Christ, that is a work of grace as well. And that's, I think, one of the things that is missing so often in our understanding. We think that God has simply acted in grace to correct the problem of sin. But no, this is a part of his character. This is a part of his essence, that when he spoke and the world came into being, he said, "This is good."
Yes.
It was good from his perspective, and it's good from our perspective. Everything that God created was for our benefit, for our use, to be able to live out who we are as human beings. So everything that has come into being has come through that quality, that characteristic of grace. And boy, that just makes it even more precious.
Absolutely.
And we have to realize too that when we talk about the grace of God, we're talking about Jesus and what he's accomplished first in creation and then in recreation through his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
It's good news from Basic Gospel as you hear it every day, and we're glad you're here to hear it today. 844-322-2742. If you'd like to come inside the studio and speak directly with us, we'd love for that to happen. Right now, about 5 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, and if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, it is live. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. As our thanks for your donation this month, we're going to send you Simply Grace. That, of course, is the 6-CD set from the Simply Grace Conference. Now, Bob, for those who were not present at the conference and who were not tuned in yesterday to hear your explanation of it, what will our donor listener friends hear on those CDs?
Well, we start with exactly what I was talking about, that, you know, why is there something and not nothing? That's one of the philosophical questions that people have been scratching their heads over for so long. Atheists are looking at, you know, different ways to answer that question, but they're looking at it from a naturalistic worldview. We're looking at it from a theistic worldview, from God is real worldview. And we see that it's his grace that is the answer to that.
Yes.
That's why there's something and not nothing, because of God's grace, because he wanted something instead of nothing. And so he spoke and he created everything. So we start there, big picture look at the grace of God, and then we narrow it down to the implications of God's grace in your life. First and foremost, salvation, the fact that you were dead in transgressions and sins, but by grace you've been made alive together with Christ. You have crossed over from death to life. Then we look at forgiveness of sins. In him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We look at the fact that you've been made righteous, that you've been given the gift of righteousness freely by God's grace. So we just keep narrowing it down to all of these gifts of grace that you have in Jesus for one purpose, so that you could have a relationship with Jesus, so you could know him and have that relationship, that knowledge of Christ, begin to transform you.
Yeah.
So it is one of the most practical things that we've ever done, and I know it will be a blessing in your life. As I prepared those messages, as I looked into the Word of God and took, you know, another look at the grace of God, it's not like this is something new to me,
right,
something I've been studying for almost 40 years. But as I kind of looked and prepared those messages, it just took a bigger space in my mind and in my heart. And it's just amazing, as the song says. So we want you to have this, and it's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month.
And you can do that right now at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Once again, Bob, I want to give the phone number, 844-322-2742, for those of you here hearing the broadcast live, or at a later time, but you can call right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's start today in Dallas, Texas, with Dale listening to us on The Word right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Dale.
How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you, my friend?
Well, great. I tell you what, I've been, you know, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for many, many years. And I run into homeless people, and I'm not sure that we're doing enough for the homeless or even for veterans. You know, I'm just trying to find out, what is the church doing? Now, I've got a suggestion or an idea. I would like to pass it by you. Is that why can't we get these guys where they can start making an income? You know, why can't we have the church saying, look, let's get these guys where they can start providing for themselves? Veterans in particular, many of them are homeless, and they need an opportunity or job, you know. And I drive for, like, Uber and Lyft. And why can't we create a Christian organization, a Christian rideshare thing?
Well, Dale, I think that's a fantastic idea. And maybe there's some others that are listening that think that's a great idea as well. And I would encourage them to send an email to us, and then we can put you on hold and see if we can get several of you together and maybe start talking about that and maybe bringing that about. I know, you know, there's a lot of work. We're, matter of fact, we're collecting coats and blankets and that sort of thing through our ministry to help with that problem here in the Dallas area. I know lots of churches, you know, open their doors for the homeless, and there's many shelters, and a lot of those shelters are certainly supported and financed and operated by believers in Christ. So there's a lot that's being done, certainly, but there's always more that we can do, isn't there? And I think
there absolutely is. I mean, my philosophy is this: that, you know, we can give them a fish, or we can teach them how to fish.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Dale. I think that's exactly right. And you know, like I said, there's so much more that can be done. A lot of times we just don't know, so we don't do anything. But you're there, you're seeing a problem, you're seeing a potential solution that can help, that can be a big impact. And God bless you for that. I think that's really living out who you are as a child of God, as a believer in Christ Jesus, and allowing the love that you've received to be passed on to others who are in need. So I'm inspired by you, Dale, and
well,
certainly encouraged by you.
Issues. We know how the radical left has basically attacked people of faith. And even when I do Uber and Lyft, I get people that are from the radical left because I'm a person of faith, you know, and they try to get me fired just because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. I mean, that's why I think we need a Christian alternative to these liberal left-leaning agendas and saying, look, we want to minister to our communities, and why can't we create revenue for these people who are in need?
Yes.
You know, and then they can minister back to the community, because in other words, you get one person off the street. I believe that we need to filter this through all the churches, you know, so we can have some mechanism of stewardship. So we know this person is actually legitimate. They're being discipled by somebody. So we can get them on the right track and then bless them the way God wants to bless them.
Yeah. Well, Dale, I think it's a great idea. Let me put you on hold. I want to get your contact information and have a further conversation with you off the air. And maybe there's some people here in Dallas that are encouraged by your call as well that would like to maybe connect with you. So if that's the case, you know, you can send me an email, bob@basicgospel.net, and just reference Dale's call and give me all your information, and then we can try to put something together. But, Dale, thank you for your call, and thank you for just having eyes to see needs that can be met by the love of Jesus Christ. So hang on. Let me get your information, okay?
Can I ask you one more other thing? This is another thing I've seen, because I try to minister everybody wherever I go, and I've noticed that senior citizens are being targeted by scammers.
Yeah, that's right. They,
yeah, I'm just blown away that, and the problem is that many of these senior citizens are on fixed income. So when somebody entices them to say, "I've got $1 million or something, all you need to do is pay for this with a eBay car or Google card or whatever."
You know, yeah, so they are definitely targeted, and that's why we need to look out for them. That's why we need to care for them. And certainly the Word of God has warnings all throughout it about that kind of activity. I mean, that's just the crazy evil world that we live in. People preying on the weakest of the weak for their own personal gain and benefit. So, Dale, you're seeing a lot of needs out there, and I sure appreciate that. You hold on. Let us get your information, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Once again, 844-322-2742. If you'd like to call in, we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, Bob. This is Gene out in Valley Springs, California. Hey, I've been listening to a guy on TV speak about the end times. He's really good, and I really like his end time message. But the other night, he started speaking on baptism and tongues, and that you had to have to do both to be saved. And I just can't find that. I read Corinthians and Paul's teaching on it and stuff, but I just don't see where it says you have to be baptized or you have to speak in tongues to be saved, because that's evidence that you're saved. So if you could clarify a little more for me, I think I've got it right, but who knows? You know, I'm just human too. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Gene, I think you have it absolutely right. There's no place in the Word of God that says you have to speak in tongues or either be water baptized to be saved. It's always by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul made this abundantly clear, specifically on the baptism issue, in his first letter to the Corinthians. He said, I'm glad I didn't baptize every one of you. But then he says, oh, yeah, I remember I baptized Crispus and Gaius and then the household of Stephanas. But beyond that, I didn't baptize anyone else. And here's the reason: for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So baptism, water baptism, is not a part of the gospel message. The gospel message, as he later spells out for us very clearly, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message that has the power contained in it to save us. That's the message that declares God's love for you and me. And when we respond to that message, when we call upon the name of the Lord, then we're saved. We go from death to life, and we're spiritually baptized, which simply means that we're placed into Christ. We were in Adam, dead, and now we're in Christ, fully alive in Him. So we were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. So that's what happens to us at baptism. So speaking in tongues is not a part of that. Water baptism is not a part of that. Water baptism is an ordinance that we can utilize to celebrate what God has done. And it's a wonderful way to make a public confession to a body of believers and for the body of believers to rejoice, to share in your joy that you are now in Christ. So it's a big celebration that we get to experience welcoming somebody into the family of God. So it's a wonderful picture of what Christ has done for us spiritually. But water baptism is not a part of the gospel, and neither is the gift of tongues. Now, here's where most of that comes from. It comes from the book of Acts. So we see in chapter 2 where Peter says you need to repent and be baptized. So there's a whole bunch of folks that say, see, you need to be baptized. You need to be water baptized. And then there's other places where people spoke in tongues, and that was evident. So you have a whole other group of people latching onto that and saying, see, you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. And neither one of those are repeated, but what you do see consistently spoken of is faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone who believes receives eternal life, receives forgiveness of sins. So it's always by grace through faith in Jesus. That's how this gospel message is delivered to you and me in such a way that it saves us, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Gene, thanks for reaching out. It's good to hear from you. And you know, friends, Basic Gospel exists to minister to the body of Christ. Our purpose is to help our listeners hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. It's what God has put us here to do. In fulfilling that, He also expects us to make known the need for support, just as the Apostle Paul did in his day. So we ask you, our listener friends, to help ensure that this message of grace in Jesus Christ continues to be available to minister in the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Please help with your gift today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. You know, there's nothing more important than the internal scope of in our lives than this message, and we hope that you will help today to keep the message coming. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've had a number of questions come to us through our YouTube viewers. Morgan wrote to us and said, can you guys explain the Roman road to salvation? And the Roman road is just a way of evangelizing people using a number of verses out of the book of Romans. So it starts with Romans 3:23, where it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem that the gospel solves. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then from 3:23, you go to 6:23, which says the wages of sin is death. So we have a sin problem and we have a death problem. Mm-hmm. And those two things need to be solved. And that is what is solved in the gospel message. And then you go back to Romans 5:8, where it says, but God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So God so loved us that he sent Jesus to be the solution to our problem. And then from there you go to Romans 10, where it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's that calling upon the name of the Lord. So it's just a path through the book of Romans that really unveils kind of the problem and the solution in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's what the Roman road to salvation is all about. Many have used that through the years. There's all kinds of tracts that have been produced by various organizations that spell that out.
Right.
But it's just a way of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Well, Morgan, good to hear from you.
Yeah, we also had this question from Kay, who said, when Jesus says, narrow is the gate, when it comes to going to heaven, what do believers do, believe or think, to make it through that gate? Well, Jesus is the gate. I mean, he is that door, and he said as much in John chapter 10. It's one of the great I am statements that Jesus made about himself. I am the door. And so if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to enter that through Jesus. There's no other way of salvation. So it's basically in line with what he said in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what do we do? Well, we simply trust Jesus. We trust the fact that he died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. We trust the fact that he was buried, putting an end to that old covenant, to the law of sin and death, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture so that we could have eternal life.
Yeah.
So we believe, and when we do, that's when we enter through that gate, that even though it's narrow, that grace of God is huge in its scope and its reach, but that's the only way that we can be saved. That's by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, do we have time for one more?
We do. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yes. God bless you. I'm a truck driver. My name is Michael. I'm wondering about God forgiving me. How can I face the trials and tribulation that I face when it's things that I don't want to do that I do? I want to live my life right for God so I can be blessed. I want to follow God. I want to do his will. The old life, the old man, I don't want no parts. Tell me what I can do, please. Thank you.
Well, Michael, the first thing to do is simply rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So Christ condemned all of your sins 2,000 years ago. He bore them in his body, and he died in your place. So he offered himself to the Father. The Father accepted that sacrifice on your behalf. So there's nothing more that needs to be done as far as forgiveness is concerned. And if you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So start right there. Rest in the finished work of Christ. So begin to give thanks. And then as far as the things that you want to do, you don't do, and the things you want to do, you don't. That is trying to perfect yourself through human effort. So again, it's resting in Jesus, what he did for you, trusting him to live his life through you today. And as you do that, you're going to bear the fruit of God's Spirit.
Yes, indeed. Well, once again, friends, we need your help to keep the good news coming. We encourage you to go right now to basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link right on the homepage and help us keep this message on the air and online. It's the only message that really is the one that offers eternal life to those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we encourage your help. BasicGospel.net. Just click donate right there on the homepage. And thanks for joining us for this edition. We're glad, as always, you were with us. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. So for Bob and the staff, I'm Bob Davis, and we encourage you to be here then. And another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow at this time, same station. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.